Wes, my man, look at that smiling face with Just for Men. No, it's not Just for Men. What does that use on your face?
It is Just for Men. You know, okay. I am Santa Claus white. So, it's okay. Just for Men.
Well, that's perfect. I was going to say Grecian formula, but maybe that dates me. That probably doesn't exist anymore. Maybe
it still exists, but you have to have stuff up here for it to work. And so I don't. So
you don't. That's true.
And brains or hair.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I wasn't going to say that, but
you were thinking it. Come on.
No, I was. It was there. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
I am so good that if I were any better, I'd have to be twins.
Well, we don't want that because I've been with you and we don't need twins of you. That's why I was an only child, because they did not want twins of me. I can guarantee you that would have not been
fair. I was an only child as well. Yeah, still am.
That. And well, I still am too. There you go. So, hey, you know what? We are we're going to go back to the industry today. With a guy that's been around this industry for a long, long time, the post frame building industry, the place that I live and breathe and love, and I mean, it's just gonna be exciting to talk to Kurt today. So, I think we should just go do that. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Let's bring him on.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the Hybrid Road Warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Kurt. How are you?
Good. How are yourself?
I'm doing well. Man, we're honored to have as a guy that's lived, well, I use 4+ decades, and it's like closer to the next one, but that sounds real old. In this industry, the president of BG Supply, man, big stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Been in post frame since I graduated from Purdue, so it's been the industry that I've lived and worked in my whole life almost.
Almost. That's nice. That's nice. So Boilermaker, at least it's Big Ten. I want to bust your chops. I'm a Michigan fan. I'm a Michigan guy.
Okay. I am a Purdue fan through and through, but I can support the Big Ten as a whole.
Yeah, I like the Big Ten as well. And we're going to have a lot more to support, it looks like. We got all these West Coast teams coming in, which is going to be interesting.
That will be very interesting. I am excited to check out Pasadena and the Rose Bowl at some point. So if Purdue ever plays there.
That will be... I would love to go out there for a game when Michigan plays there, because I've done Notre Dame and a few other, iconic stadiums. And it's always fun to go to them. But to me, it's more fun to go when my team's playing, or I got more of a vested interest, as opposed to just a tourist. And, there's Notre Dame Stadium. This is kind of nice, So, yeah. Pasadena.
Unless you lose, it does taint it a little bit, but it's still a fun time.
That's true. Yeah. Losing always taints everything. So, Kurt, welcome, number one, and thank you for all you've done in this industry for years. So give us, if you would, a brief synopsis. We want to talk BG Supply. We want to talk about what that is, how it started, the industry in general. But your family has a pretty big background in the world of post-frame buildings. And just tell us how this whole thing started with FBI buildings.
Yeah, so it was actually my grandpa, about 67 years ago, founded, which was then Farm Builders, was the name of the company. And post frame was really, 60 by 40 farm sheds. That's kind of all you really used, the old poles, why it got the term pole barns back in those days, telephone poles, all that type of stuff. And through that maturation period and through post frame really shifting into commercial, home, suburban type stuff, equine, that's where the name changed from Farm Builders to FBI Buildings. And then we've been in the post frame industry for over 65 years now. And then my dad took it over from there. And then, like I said, when I came back from Purdue, jumped straight into sales. So got to meet a lot of amazing people around Northern Indiana, primarily. Sold a lot of pole barns, and just got to know what the industry looked like, what people are needing and wanting. And then from there, moved into inside sales management, some marketing management, and then this BG Supply opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah. It has been such an incredible industry. Like I mentioned, I started building pole barns I say building, okay. I was the gopher kid out of high school with my dad's business, hauling 2x4s around and bags of neoprene nails and all that kind of stuff, and getting yelled at by all the older guys, even though they knew my dad owned the company. So there I was still getting yelled at. But yeah, so I mean, I go way, way back as well. And isn't it amazing when you fast forward 50 years, let's just say, 60 years in the case, 65, 67 years in the case of FBI, how incredible the industry's changed, right? I mean, what, before we get into BG, because I think that's a good space to start and why you started BG Supply, give us the synopsis of the post-frame industry. Because, man, like you said, if some people used to refer to them as telephone pole barns, right? Because that was that was what was available in plain old galvanized steel and some ring shank neoprene nails and a door or two, and that was it, right?
Sure. Yeah. Before that, I too had the honor of being a gopher on crews and throwing out pieces of wood to the crews and throwing trash away. Yep. They used me for very menial tasks. Let's just say that I wasn't the best craftsman. Yeah. But you learn a lot when you're out there. But yeah, to your point, post frame or pole barns or whatever term you want to use for that, it has been an amazingly crazy shift. I always kind of share this joke. When I was younger, I was like, I don't want to go work at FBI. Like, pole barns are, they're like, you know, just storage buildings. They're kind of boring. Like, they're not very exciting construction. I want to go build, you know, football stadiums, like cool stuff like that. And then as time has gone on, it's shifted. And this, the whole shabby chic kind of retro, you know, old farm home type of looks has really come in style. You've seen, we build, you know, wedding reception facilities, wedding facilities where people get married in. Obviously, homes has blown up. You see the term chalice and barn dominiums and all these different terms for that in a lot of different ways. And then you build gyms, right? People have all sorts of stuff in here, from all their toys and things they do, lake houses. And then now it's used for tons of type of commercial projects, even fast food restaurants. So buildings you see around the cities, some of them are post-frame and you would never know, which is really, really very different from what it was, you know, to your point, 40 years ago. So it's really become a form of construction that has been adapted, especially in the commercial use, by a lot of the building codes that wasn't the case 40 years ago. So that's been a big part of it. It's become more of an accepted form of construction. And then the perception is it's a cheaper form of construction. We always kind of touch on this. There it is in certain aspects and certain uses. It's not always going to be cheaper. Right. So there is some misconceptions there where it's like, oh, I can build a $1 million house for $500,000 if I build it as a pole barn. It's like that, not always the case. Depending how you're building it, there can be factors in that. So I think a lot of those things has really driven the desire for it. And this is the open concept, you know, stick building. You cannot build an 18-foot huge open space in a stick built form of construction is easy. And post frame really gives you that flexibility, design flexibility as well. So just continues to grow. You see this in Google searches, pole barns and post frame in the 2000s and 2010s. It has gone up by 50 to 40% in the decade over decade from 2000 in the 2020s. So it just continues to get more and more popular. And you see it going out west into Montana and Colorado too. It's booming out there. It's not just Midwest anymore.
Oh, exactly. I have some good customer friends in Montana. They service like the Kalispell and some of those areas where people are selling out of San Francisco or LA and moving up into the big sky country, right? And yeah, they're not building a small 32x40, you know, 10-foot sidewalls and no overhang and all that stuff. They're building monstrosities of barn and brick and stone and porches and eyebrows and cupolas and you name it, right?
And that's a great point. Because not to cut you off there, but it's a great point in the sense of the use of it has, as the machinery has gotten bigger and the uses, whether it's suburban or ag, these buildings have gotten huge. I mean, the idea of when my grandpa started FBI building 100-foot wide wood truss, 300 to 400 feet long would have been, I mean, they would never have believed that. Right. So
exactly.
This functionality has expanded to grow to the need, which has been really, really a wild journey.
It has been. And like you, speaking of machinery, especially maybe more so in the Iowa and West areas, probably, but the size of the farm equipment, like you said, these are big buildings they're building. These are like a commercial building they're building on the farm. And then whether you get you look at all the people doing great jobs with the bifold type doors, right? You got these 40 some foot wide doors that cost more than a pole barn costs. you know, back in the day, right? And but you know, you got $1 million combine and a few other $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 pieces of equipment. You need a big building and you need a strong, quality, safe building to store your product.
And efficiency matters, right? So you know, a 40-foot sliding door, 40-foot hydraulic bifold door, and you can do 40-foot sliders, or you can even get almost 40-foot and overhead doors. You'd be like, well, that seems a bit excessive. I'm like, well, not having to close in your sprayer or take off the combine head, like all that stuff is efficient, right? And the chance of you hitting your building or all that type of stuff, like it makes the farmer, his life easier, more efficient, more simplistic, and not waste time. Like it pays off for him in the long run. It makes sense when you see what they're doing, why they're doing it.
It does. And it's really, really cool. As you said, having both of us been in this industry a long time, it's fun to see, and it's fun to, I guess, grow up in it, even though I haven't grown up yet, but I'm thinking about it one of these days. but probably not. No, I won't. That's a lie. But it's fun to see the massive changes, and it's like with technology from a standpoint that it goes so quickly. It was changes were slow, and is it just me? But the changes are coming faster and faster now, right? Part of it's with technology, but look at things. Like steel siding, for example, we've got texture, we've got the board and batten look, we've got mm-hmm. things that some of my, I don't know if you know them or not, but some good friends of mine way out west, they're the Rubios from Western States Metal Roofing, and like 150 different profiles of colors and textures and looks. It's like, you can do almost anything you want to do with a pole barn now. And when I'll really date myself, but I was at a point in time where we thought we were ahead of the game with a lumber chain that I was a purchasing agent at for a few years. And we were big time because we stocked four colors, 8s, 10s, 12s, 14s, and 16s, right? And we were like the leader of the pack. That was, people would look at you now like, I want 16 footers. I want 15, 11, and 3/4, right? I mean, I don't want mm-hmm. just plain shiny black. I want a textured or a crinkled, or I want, right? And the thing is the industry can be congratulated, I think, because we've responded as an industry. If you want it, if it's something we can sell, if it's something you'll use, you know, we've really turned the game up on that, haven't we?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, the things that are standard now in a lot of builders were the cutting edge 20 years ago, 10 years ago, right? You get Kynar paint systems or stainless steel screws. There's a lot of things that have shifted and changed. And I think it's just a testament to the times that we're in. It's everybody kind of wants a customized type of product in some ways. And you don't think of that necessarily for a building all the time. But since it's suburban and you see farmers, it's their own spin. It's their farmstead. It's their farm shop. It's their home. It's their hobby shop. Like they want to customize it to their needs and their wants. And that's real. And it's a beautiful thing about post frame is you can do that. And to your point, the industry has responded, the carriers and the providers and all the material providers have responded and they allow it. And you see it also on the speed and expectation. I mean, post frame is a faster form of construction on average, but you see it in the customers. Like they expect things on time. They expect things fast. There's just a different expectation of quality of customer service. People call it the Amazon effect or whatever you want to call that, right? There's an expectation of customer service that some of the builders have really had to learn and form a new muscle of like, hey, how do we service our customers to the level that they're expecting? Because I think 20 years ago is a little more, the builders had a little more power and can be like, hey, we'll get there when we get there. Or, hey, you're going to get this because this is what we provide. And that's really changed. Like you have to meet the customer where they are. And FBI and BG Supply has really embraced that.
And knowing you guys for a long, long time, you certainly have. And the people that embrace that are going to win. We're so far from, I remember days, again, quite a while back, where we at one time, we had packages. We had a 30 by 40 by 10 foot wall with one walk door, two sliders and a window. I don't know, whatever it was, right? And it was like, you will pay hell to get anything different from us because that's just what we do. But we don't have that.
Yeah, package. That's the standard. That's the standard, that's right? Standard. Yeah.
And nowadays, they're really not. Some people do packages still because I think the value of that is it gives the homeowner a starting place, right? Because they may not know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking 30 by 40 ish or something. Where's mm-hmm. that going to? What's going to start at 27.5? Let's pick a number. Because they have no clue, right? But they're going to. It's almost like there is, it's a blank slate. What do you want to have? And I think as a builder, it's important to grasp that and say, look, don't get into these preconceived notions that I'm just going to build the standard building, because I'm not even sure that word exists in this industry. I mean, it does.
Well, but ever since Pinterest came about, like, it's just everyone has, you'd be amazed. Like, and I was in sales, it was like you go into a home and the guy or the woman would pull up, I have this Pinterest board, and you'd be like, oh no. Not because it's bad, but because it's so elaborate, right? Yeah. And it costs, and they don't know how much those things cost. And they look beautiful, right? Like these flying overhangs and like all this stuff. And you're like, that's a $1.5 million building, and they're thinking 400,000, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Pinterest has really blown that up. It just gives you so many ideas, which is a beautiful thing, but then you got to kind of work it back and deconstruct it. Right. For FBI and even BG, like for FBI specifically, every building they do is engineered specifically. So they can design anything and engineer anything that the customer wants. Now, to your point, there are standards, and we push standards and recommend them because they can be more economical, right? Like mm-hmm. a standard set size, it is more economical to build. And so that's a perfect solution for certain people. If, hey, you know, I'm looking for something that's going to be cost effective. I don't need all the bells and whistles. I don't need to deck this thing out. That's a great way to go. But exactly. There is the other side too, where you can do it customized.
Exactly. So we've talked about FBI, and we all, again, if you're in this industry at all, you know what, you've been sleeping if you don't know who FBI is. So how did this transition, and tell us about BG and how that whole thing came about? Because that's kind of an area that I'm interested in chatting about is how did BG, I should say, get started? What do you guys do? What's your philosophy? Give us the BG story.
Yeah. So, I mean, FBI has been in the industry for a long time. And I would say they're typically perceived as in the higher echelon in regards to quality. And then with that, obviously, price follows that typically from the quality standpoint. And as you looked around and saw the demand for post frame, even in just the states that we border, you know, Illinois, Michigan, FBI is in Indiana, for those who don't know, and, you know, Ohio, like those states, that post frame just continues to expand and build out like we talked about. And so we looked around, we're like, there's a lot of contractors in these states, a lot of smaller end contractors who are trying to build out their material supply networks as they grow. We've been in this industry for a long time. We have deep ties into those connections, those networks. We have a large buying power because of how many projects we do. And it really made us start wondering, like, hey, like, I think we could actually really help this industry and help general contractors and help these smaller builders by using our supply networks to create an ability for them to use us as a one-stop shop. So that's really the genesis of BG Supply and what we broke that off. And they're totally separate companies. They're not the same company. FBI has their own leadership team. BG Supply has their own leadership team, completely separate companies. We use different materials in certain areas. A lot of these smaller general contractors, 4 foot on center is standard. People know FBI or a Morton or a Wick, the 8 foot on center is the standard for these bigger builders. So we really going into the 4 foot on center and supporting that market, which is a very different market. It's a different type of customer. They, you know, typically a little more economical minded in regards to the cost of the projects and those types of things. So that's really where the BG Supply plays. They're different fields in FBI. They're very different companies, obviously, as BG is a material supply company. And our really desire is to supply in general contractors, also supplying directly to the marketplace. You want to buy a material package delivered on site, full material package. You want to build it, or you've got friends who want to build it, or a buddy, you know, all that type. I recommend, you know, getting some friends and opening a beer and trying to build a post frame building over the weekend if you haven't done it, but you can give it a try, and we'll provide you the materials. You let us know how it goes. But if you have construction experience or know someone, right, it's an awesome way to go. So we can sell those. I saw they threw at the website earlier. We can sell those online and deliver them. We also have what's called Smart Build, which is our design online tool, which actually allows you to design. This goes back to your thing. It's a little less custom, you know, basic sizes. You can adjust some things and different things. And that actually comes into us, and we can spit that out as a quote pretty quickly to give people quotes, just fast turnarounds, where it's like, you don't have to call us. You don't have to wait for us to get back with you if it's a standard type of building. So if you just click that start designing, that takes you to that Smart Build area. So you can do that on our website, or you can always just call us, email us, and go that route as well. You don't have to go through the website. But so that's kind of how the start and what the vision is and the purpose of BG Supply to help out people, is to use our experience from a material procuring standpoint to just help the post-frame industry continue to build out.
So how long has BG been in existence, Kurt?
Yeah, so it's it really started the first of this year. So we haven't really even hit a full year yet. We're still very new into this, and we're out of Remington, Indiana. We also brought on and bought a company down in Linton, Indiana. If you're like me, I never had heard of Linton, Indiana in my life before. Greene County down there, kind of right between Bloomington, Terre Haute, that area. And so we have two locations that we build our trusses, procure our materials that can ship out of to try to get to the customer base easier and better. And then we have two drop lots, one in Illinois, one in Michigan as well. So it kind of gives us your core Great Lakes states in Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and even into Iowa. Kind of those states are really where we're at, but we can deliver farther. I mean, trucking is really the only issue there. So there's different drivers and stuff, but we can go down to Tennessee, different things like that too, if it's the right project.
Sure. Sure. So you got design service, you've got your purchasing power, and you've got probably one of the key things is that's one of the areas of builders. There's a lot of really, really good independent builders, right? That build a beautiful mm-hmm. building. Mm-hmm. But having the ability to source everything they need and the time it takes to do that and the time it takes to make sure those estimates are correct and that they got the right bill of materials and then literally getting for sure. to the job site is probably one of the toughest places for a small builder to do, right? When he's got to oversee crews, he's got to oversee sales, yep. right? So that's where you come in and it's like one stop, it's X dollars, it'll be there on Thursday, right? It can't get any better.
Yeah. Most people who build, whether you are a general contractor, you build lots of them, or you built your own buildings, like one-off type stuff. Most people love to build. That's their passion. They want to be outside. They want to be in the elements. They like working with the guys, like getting their hands dirty. And that's awesome, right? Our country could use more right. people who want to do that type of stuff. That's a beautiful thing. Most times what we notice is they don't really want to get into Excel and build out parts lists and POs and all that type of stuff and have to call the vendors and you got to call this vendor and then that vendor and then this vendor. I get my truss from here, my wood from here, my screws from here. It's just a pain. And so we do all of that. We know we have all that done. We have a full yard. We have full truss plants that build the trusses, build the columns. So really eliminating the stuff that I want to go build. I'm going to get out of building because I'm just tired of all the rest of the stuff. Hey, we'll take on all the rest of the stuff. And then you don't have to worry about trucking, delivery, all that stuff. And we've learned tricks of the trade in 60 years too, of how we source metal, how we load and kit things on the trucks, how it'll arrive, all that type of stuff. Just to make their jobs easier and just to allow their companies to grow really is the biggest thing. And then also just a lot of people who want to get projects to do themselves, DIYers, to supply those guys. And from what we've seen too, primarily, we are extremely competitive. We quote ourselves against Menards, against Graber, big supply companies in that regard. And we're right in the ballpark with all those people. And we can even be higher from what I talked about earlier, customer service standpoint. We can be more hands-on. We're not this giant conglomerate all over the country. We can right. be more hands-on, be more customizable on schedule and when to get it there and all that type of stuff too, to give a little bit more of a personal touch.
Yeah. Well, and you use a great program, the Smart Build, I'm very familiar with. No, Keith. Well, mm-hmm. that actually he was on.
Oh, really? Podcast. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know Keith well. He was on yeah. our podcast here. I don't know six months ago or so. I've known Keith for years. Just an incredibly great program, and I love everything yeah. it does from the parts and piece material list to what the building going to look like. To mm-hmm. I want to change this. I want to change that. It's so quick and easy to do, and it's accurate. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful thing.
And to that point, Keith's been great. We have our own IT department and wanted to build out, and they've been a really good job of letting us customize and build this thing out to even get better for our needs and uses. So they've been fantastic to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. To be able to offer those services, like you said, the DIY guy, of course, because they have limited sometimes, and maybe they built one barn 12 years ago for their buddy out back, or they did a, YouTube video or two, and now they're ready to build their barn, and maybe they are, but boy, even if that's the stance, to be able to have all that expertise, the call up your people and do the, okay, I might've got a little over my head here. What about, what do I do with this? I don't know what to do with this. I mean, that's invaluable, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to have that, because you got real pros to call. And, but yet, like I said, you meet the other end of the spectrum, because what we talked about earlier with having the highly customized too, I'm sure from BG, you can buy the 30 by 40 by 10 foot with a couple doors, or you can buy
right off the Smart Build.
Yeah. Or you can buy the real customized with some brick and some T111 over here and a little bit of that over there, and just really make this thing as Taj Mahal-ish if you want, all from one source. And that's got to be a great relief to the, to especially to the professional builder.
Now, the second one's going to take some more time, right?
Right.
You're not going to get a quote from Smart Build doing that. Like, you're going to have to call them. We're going to have to work through it. So that's a project that you need to have a little more flexible timeline. But like a 30 by 40 at the walk door window, overhead door, you can design that on our website, send it right to us, get you an instant quote back to you, and we can move that very, very fast.
Great. So turnaround on that would be probably about a day or two after they get the quote done, or I mean after they get the estimate done, as far as
in regards to like kitting and shipped.
Yeah.
Depending on location, there's a lot of stuff like that. Location, where are you at? That's going to have some factor effects on it. But yeah, I mean, we can turn those pretty fast. If it's a really tight schedule, we can do that in a few days if we needed to. Yeah. On average, if someone's bringing a thing in, we typically, it all depends on how deep you want to get on this, but you got long lead time items, right? We stock certain things. But again, if it's a non-standard job and it's not stocked and you got to ship it here, that might take a couple of weeks. But if everything is standard, it's in stock, we could do that in 2 days.
Yeah, well, let's face it, and I'm sure that happens, but that would be an oddity just being around.
That would be a very fast turnaround for a customer. Well, yeah,
it is, because I mean you still got some excavating to do,
exactly,
this dig to call or whatever you call it,
or you gotta get a permit.
I mean, have you even figured out, do you have the money you're gonna have to finance, or have you done any of that stuff, right? So it's like it depends, like you said, where are you in the process? If you got all those things,
if you're in a pinch and you need something really fast, to the customer service that we can provide, we could do that. We can make that happen. And that's probably something that would be very difficult to get from another type of provider. Now, normally a couple of weeks or, you know, half a month, that's normally when the time frame you want it. And that would be right in the wheelhouse of normality.
Exactly. So you mentioned earlier Schultz's and barn doors, barn dominiums. Man, that thing's taken off, hasn't it? That's just
wild.
Crazy. Yeah. I've had a couple of people on, you know, Dave Navarat that does financing of, I don't know, Dave out of Bank of Kansas City, or I might have that slightly wrong. We've had the barn dominium company out of South Texas that does a lot of that design work and that. Isn't that like one of the coolest things that's came out of this?
Those are great examples of that's really allowed this to change, right? Like, you couldn't get financing from banks. Like, when I sold, and I had people that wanted barn doors or homes to live in them, it was like, man, some banks won't give you a loan. Like, they don't like it. And so those examples of those people you've had on your shows, they've changed the market to allow this to be more possible for people. They can get financing for it, right? If you had the money, you could do it. Right. But it was more of a barrier for people to get into from a financing standpoint. So as that shifted, and then just the style has shifted, like your grays and your blacks and your whites, open concept, right? More of like your farmhouse retro type of look. It's been a combo together that's just skyrocketed in popularity.
It has. And I don't see that slowing down. A lot of customers that I deal with, and I'm a component guy, so I mean I got my finger on what they're doing, because they buy my components to go into their packages. But it's even out in the rural environments where they're not even the $700-800 million barn door, it's the reasonably low cost way to quickly get into a nice little home. Even those at the, let's say the more cost-effective economy end are very popular. I've got guys right now out in the middle of no place doing 4, 5, 6 of those a year. It's amazing.
And one of the really big benefits, and some people might be aware of this and others might, of why it is not a bad call to go with a home post-frame is insulation and the energy savings. I don't know how familiar you are with that. But like, for the average, you know, whether you're 4 foot on center or even the 8 foot on centers, your bats, if you're doing the 8-inch or 6-inch bat, depending on your column size, stretches that whole length, right? Versus a stick built, you've got every 2 feet, you've got your stud there. Mm-hmm. And so your insulation is less broken up, so you have better insulation in your building, or you can easily just blow insulation in the roof. And a lot of people spray foam, obviously, too. So there's just a lot of reasons why it is very easy. And it can be a very fast form of construction. Now, we get people like, hey, can I put a basement like in that? And you're like, yeah, you can. Like, then you're kind of getting post frame and name only. It's right. Like, you're kind of taking away some of the benefits of a post frame, but you can. Yeah, it's not like you can't.
Right. Exactly.
And that's a big thing too, is people bracket to concrete a lot now. From a commercial standpoint, we get that a lot. Hey, we want to go post frame up above, but like for building codes, you know, you're up in Lake or Porter County by Chicago and the region up there, or other big cities, and they have more stringent building codes. we see that a ton is people pour like a 2 footer, a footer around the edge, and we bracket to the concrete and build the rest of it. Strip malls, and you would never have any idea that's post-frame construction, but it is.
Oh, exactly. And like you said, they're just, I've gone into buildings before and I recognize them as post-frame because I've been around forever. But the average consumer would just think that's either a stud built, a metal building, a block building, a poured wall. They think of something pole barn, right? They just would not recognize that.
Yeah. If it's not steel and has that quintessential 4x12 pitch, they're like, oh, that's not a post-frame building.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, exactly. It's not always the case.
It's not always the case. Well, that's the thing you talked about, and you guys build trusses, but there's so many truss designs you could do now to pretty it up, shall we say. And it used to be about the only choice you had. And I don't know if this was maybe the original first choice, but I remember the monitor design became popular, which still is in a lot of areas. But that was like one of the few choices at one time. That was like a big design difference, right? And nowadays there's just, there's probably the sky's the limit of what, your engineering people can come up with as far as the truss design, which again, puts us in a good position from the industry to continue to grow. So
wood trusses are very flexible in that sense. You can do scissor trusses, all type of stuff.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So you've been kind with your time as we sort of wind down, Kurt. Where, we've talked about a lot of where we are and where we're going to think it continues, but you see any big new steps in the industry? I mean, it's been strong, right? It's been growing. It's been strong. What's your crystal ball tell you about the industry for 2023 is going to be good. What do you see beyond that? I mean, it seems strong, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Coming out of, COVID was big. No one really knew what to expect. Obviously, we didn't know if human construction was going to be considered a, what was the terminology, a necessity form of field that you could continue to work. So, and then it blew up. Obviously, no one knew at the time of Crystal Ball. At that time, it would have been lovely, but they poured all the money in the industry. People were at home, so suburbans, hey, I'm going to build a shed. I've wanted to do this for 3-5 years. Now I'm stuck at home for 6 months. I'm going to call a post-frame builder and build a backyard shed. So you saw a huge spike in 21 into 22, a money influx in the economy that affected that as well. And it's continued. We monitor a lot of things. The 2023 has been a phenomenal year. I would say the leads are down. There's not as much demand, but the demand is more real, if that makes sense. You have less tire kickers, people who are like, hey, what does this cost? Hey, what does that cost? But the people that are reaching out, no, because of inflation, let's all be honest, and the price to build a building today from 4 years ago is not the same. It's changed tremendously. Yes. The sad reality is I don't see that changing. We're not going back to pre-2020. It's just not reality. If you look at anything in business, everything is more and no one else is changing, and therefore trickle effect goes down to the building, right? The materials are all higher. They're not going back down. I think it could go down a little bit, but it's never going to go back to where that was, which is just a sad reality of inflation in that regard. So it's affected people, I think, but the people who are interested are very serious buyers. And we go to like 24, election years are always interesting. Just from the history we've seen, people are kind of always a little pensive of like, hey, what's going to happen? Who's going to get put in? All that stuff. So I think 24 could be an interesting year for post frame, but I don't see styles, trends, all that type of stuff continue to go up. The interest and the novelty and the curiosity around post frame continues to grow, and just the acceptance in the industry from banks to building codes, all that stuff has continued. So I think it's an extremely, extremely popular form of construction. And as people look for more and more economical ways to do things, post frame is a glaring answer to a lot of it. And I don't see that changing at all. It will always be a very economical way to build and an effective way to build that I think actually makes it even more competitive going in the future. So that's one thing. And another thing too, is you're going to see more and more innovation for anyone in your audience, or if you're familiar, but example of that is FBI just came out with Q-Lift a few years ago. And it's a whole different way that they build their buildings that no one else does. And you're going to see innovations like that, that make buildings safer, makes buildings have a higher quality. Just all that type of stuff. You're going to see that innovation as technology comes into play. That's just going to continue to redefine this industry. One small anecdote too, I keep hearing people talk about is like, hey, as technology gets better, the farm equipment has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And a lot of theories are, hey, farm equipment's actually going to shrink and you're going to go to lots of little pieces that are all AI automated, right? Mm-hmm. Controlled, and farmers can control a fleet of smaller, better for the ground, all that type of stuff. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to totally change how you design buildings, right? You've got a bunch of smaller, you don't need 20 foot tall buildings anymore. You need really wide buildings, right? To store all, if that, something like that happens. So I think builders have to be on their toes, right? We've got to be excited and embrace the future without going as the farmers do and their technology changes. We're going to adapt and adjust and meet the needs that they have. And I don't see that changing. It's just going to continue to run at a fast pace.
Exactly. Then, you know, and that's a great point right there, Curtis. The technology's changed so quickly, right? It's like you take something as relatively simple as an iPhone and you buy a new one and you almost need to buy a new one next week, right? I mean, it's like it continually changes so quickly. And I think all of us in the industry, some love technology. I have a love-hate relationship. I love to hate it, hate to love it, right?
Right.
But I understand what it does for me. And we have to grasp those things. Like AI is one of those things, like you said. You could literally have a farmer kind of like the drone pilots. They're sitting in Omaha someplace running attacks in Iraq, for example, right? You could be a farmer sitting there in his beautiful office with his porches and his bricks and his stone and everything beautiful and monitoring his little combine,
his whole fleet, the field, entire fleet,
right?
Yeah.
So you can't hide from that stuff in the industry because we need to stay ahead of that game, ahead of the curve, and be open to and responsive to what's new, because what's new doesn't have to scare us. It's just new, and better or worse, we better be aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm. And the reality, and I'm not saying I'm a proponent or against it, right? So I'm not trying to push. You know, AI can be a divisive thing amongst people.
Well, I know it can.
So I'm neither positive or negative in it, but the reality is workforce is the biggest constraint when it comes to the construction industry right now in our country. It's massive. It is a huge issue. QLIF, one of the reasons for QLIF is it creates an easier way to build, less wear and tear on the body. People can build longer, right? Like they're not scared of heights. They don't have to be up high. So how do you make it easier to build is a big thing. The industry's going to have to wrestle with. And then secondly, any industry that's struggling with workforce, I think you see that everywhere from construction to fast food, right? And I'm sure the ag industry is no different. So you see that, you're like, whether you like it or not, AI is coming, and there's a reason it's coming, because the workforce is hard to find. And if people can find ways to get reliable and responsive ways to get what they need done, it's just inevitable. That's what I'm seeing. It's like, hey, how do you adjust and embrace it to make it work best for you, right?
That's the key. That's the key. Beautiful. Kurt, any final words before we let you get on out of here? I'm sure you got a building to sell or something. So West Marsh reminds me there should be a should ask question. I mean, I know you're well beyond building yourself, but you want to get something sold. Should ask question. Anything we missed today?
No, not necessarily. Just if you're looking at, you're looking at doing a project, come check out our website. If you know builders or are a builder, you're looking at a way to simplify your job, everything, all those things we talked about, check out BG Supply. We'd love to help you guys build out your business and be a partner to drive you forward. So
beautiful.
Really the biggest thing. So I don't think I have much more else to add on my end.
Okay, great. Yeah, you froze for just a second there. So,
did I?
Wes will fix it. So as we finish up, thank you for being on. You can get a hold of bgsupply.com. Is that correct?
bgsupplyco.com.
Is
the website? Yeah.
Good. Perfect. That's beautiful. That's great.
And we didn't plan this, but we coordinated color schemes exceptionally well.
That is quite well. I didn't send the memo out. But I should have.
It's aesthetically pleasing.
That is important, right? And I appreciate you. Typically, my guests are always, because I'm old, always younger and better looking, and I can't do anything about either. So I appreciate at least you didn't outshine me with the clothes today. So thank you.
There you go. There you go. It was a pleasure to meet you, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. We'll probably see you in Des Moines for the NFBA Expo, I'm assuming.
Yep. We will be there.
Perfect. Perfect. Awesome. Kurt, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Cheers. All right, folks. There we go. Kurt Baylor, president of BG Supply out of Remington and Linton, Indiana, down south, Terre Haute area. Anyways, these guys have been around a long time. As you could tell by listening to him, he's a very sharp guy, very sharp company, good people, long, long pedigree from the starting days of FBI farm buildings when you go way back, and in FBI buildings now. give a call, give them a shout, check them out. And remember, if you don't do anything else that I say, love what you do and do what you love. Live it, love it, and own it. And while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.